Amen. Wow. You may be seated. Thank you. I'm glad you didn't play the Australian National Anthem because I can't remember the words. You ever see those footballers and all that on the, you know, play a National Anthem and they're all like, you don't know the words. Don't sing if you don't know the words. Hey, great to be here. Thanks for putting on the warm weather for us. Normally we freeze here. Now it's just chilly. That's all it is. It's not cold. So that's pretty exciting. I don't think I've ever been in New Zealand where it's not freezing. And so this is awesome. And so I might even go out and play some golf this week. That'd be good. That'd be good. Hey, well, thanks for having us here. And it's always a pleasure to come. As Don's already said, you know, we've been friends for decades and we love this house. We try and invest whenever we can into this house because we believe in you. And we know that God's got you positioned. There's a destiny. There's a hand of God upon this house because I know the heart of this house. And that's the heart that God blesses. And so pretty excited about that. I'd like to just declare today that the season that we've been in has been a season of increase. And I can't preach about anything else because that's, you know, that's what's on our hearts. And I believe in increase. I believe that God is a God of increase. I believe that He has chosen you, as that song has said. But not just to exist, but to increase, to grow and develop. So I want to bring a message today that's going to help you grow. Who's ready for some, you know, steak and eggs? Like, you know, we don't want porridge this morning. You know, we want a big breakfast. We want something that's going to build us and encourage us to grow. And I want to start with this scripture, Ephesians 3, 20, 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Listen to that, within us. "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Look at this, I've got a milkshake and everything. Love this church. Love this church. You know, that scripture is just so filled with the possibilities of God. See, that increase is the very nature of God. Wanting his children to increase, wanting his children to grow and develop and increase is the very nature of God. We're tapping into the largeness of God, if that's a word. I may have made it up. But it's humbling to think that God wants that for us. It's humbling to think that God wants that for you and I, from where we came from to, you know, knowing that we both don't deserve it, but God wants that for us. He wants that increase. But I've got to tell you this, that in all things there's a process. There's the process that ensures that we get to the right outcome in all things. Who's ever shopped at IKEA? Yeah, do you have IKEA in New Zealand? You don't have it? Well, IKEA is a shop that sells all sorts of furniture and stuff, right? And you walk through it, it's like a snake. You walk through it, you actually get lost in it. I think that's part of the... They have rescue stations, along the way. But you walk through this IKEA, this furniture shop, and you come out the other end and you sort of purchase and purchase and purchase, right? And so if you want to, say, a desk, an office desk, you know, for a home office, right? You see this office desk there on the showroom floor and you go, great, that would be fantastic. That would fit perfectly in my office. So you go to the cash register and you pay for it and they send you out the dock. But who knows, when you go out the dock, the desk that you saw on the showroom floor looks nothing like the box that they hand you, because it's all prefab. You have to build it. You have to take it home and you have to put it together yourself. I remember being shocked the first time. I thought, I'll buy that. I got out the back and they gave me a cardboard box. And I said, are you putting it together? Who puts it together? Someone's got to put it together. And they must have plenty of money because in the box, there's always extra pieces. Have you noticed that? Every time I put something together, there's always two or three things left over. And I think, why would they put all that in there? Why would they do that? They must have plenty of money. But you know, there's a process. For what you saw on the showroom floor to what you picked up at the dock, that dream that you had of that desk in your office at home, there's a process that's going to get you there, which means you've got to put it together. It's the same with the increase in our lives with God. It's the same with the increase. There's a process. God wants us to increase. God has made every provision for us to increase, to grow and develop. But we've got to understand that there's a process that will bring that increase. The increase is guaranteed if we will go through the process that God has for us. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Things I want to highlight from this passage. Chapter 4, verse 20 says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In verse 22 there, we look at the first thing is the old self. It tells us in this process, right, we come to Jesus, we say the sinner's prayer, we ask him to come into our life, forgive us of all our sin. Awesome. That's the beginning of the process. And to continue, it says, now, once you cross that line, you need to put off the old self. Put off the old self. I mean, we just had a perfect example, didn't we, a few weeks ago with Easter. You know, Jesus Christ came, the Son of God came in flesh, right? And surrendered, sacrificed his life, was crucified, was nailed to the cross. See, the process of increase began. He died, he rose again, and now where is he? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Like that whole process of increase that takes place. Romans 6:5 tells us, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So if we are prepared to go through the same process that Christ went through, we will have the same reward that Christ had. We will have the same increase. Same process, same reward. The question is, are we prepared to best the old self? We put off the old self, we start the process for the new self to arise. It's the process of increase. Verse 6 of Romans 6 tells us, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. There's freedom right there. There's the increase right there, the process right there that we are freed up. And I love this because nobody talks about it. It's the elephant in the room. You ever been in those sort of situations where there's this elephant in the room? No one's talking about the elephant in the room. I love it. I love talking about the elephant in the room. I was thinking the other day that we actually get a little bit down on addicts, don't we? You know, drug addicts and alcoholics and, you know, those types of people. You think, well, what's wrong with them? Why can't they just say no to that? Why can't they just kick that? It's killing them. It's destroying their life. And we think, are they weak? Is there something weak about them that they can't say no? Have you ever thought that? Well, I think there should be a whole wing in the Auckland Hospital for the self addicts. People who are addicted to self. Do you know? Oh, it's quiet now. Did I say something? It's quiet now. The self addicts, the people who've got to have it their way. It's got to be done for them. Why didn't you do that for me? How come that person got that? I didn't get that or whatever. And this old man, this old self, right, is addicted to itself. And we're all victims in that. And the freedom of Christ that brings the increase is to put that old self to death. Oh, it's powerful. Change. I'm not excited, but I am. It's the very essence of increase is to change. You see, if we're the same as we were 12 months ago, if we haven't changed, if that old self, right, hasn't been crucified, hasn't been put down, hasn't been made small so that the new self in Christ can be made taller and bigger and stronger, then I haven't had increase. No wonder I'm so unhappy. There's been no change. I'm the same as I was last year. I'm the same as I was the year before and the year before. No wonder I'm bored out of my brain. No wonder I'm so disappointed with everything. Because there's been no change. There's been no increase in my life. You're real quiet now. It's that old self. And we've all got one. We've all got one. But for the system, for the process of increase to take place, that old self has to be crucified. It has to be nailed to the cross. So I've got to be big enough, I've got to be bold enough, I've got to be brave enough to talk to my old self and to change some things, to assess my old self. Why am I disappointed about that? Why was I hurt by that? You know, why did I get so affected when that person said that, or they didn't do that, or they should have done that? Why is that? We start to talk to ourselves and say, wait a minute, I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than letting that hurt affect me. I'm bigger than letting that offense hold me back, hold me down, keep me small. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm born again. I'm not the old self anymore. There's increase that has come. The sin that keeps me enslaved to the old self must be confronted and nailed to the cross. It must be confronted. You find people that go from that relationship, there's only that relationship to that relationship, and it's always everybody else. But there's only one common denominator. That self. That self. Maybe there's something in the old self, right, that is poisoning every relationship I have. It needs to be crucified. That thing in me that keeps destroying me, that keeps shooting me in the foot when I try to go forward in God. But oh, that disappointment, oh, that regret, oh, that pain holds me back, keeps me small, keeps me enslaved to the old self. Oh, come on, folks. It gets better. Trust me. It gets better. But it's a process. It's a process. So you can't put new wine into an old wineskin, the Bible tells us, because the increase will explode it. The increase will explode it. See, God can't put increase in your life today if the old self is still ruling and reigning. He can't, because you'll destroy it. It'll explode it. But when we do that, when we sacrifice that old self, when we begin to say, wait a minute, what is it in me that I am enslaved to? I start to deal with it, start to process it. And number two, we come to the new self in verse 24. The new self. It says here, and to put on the new self. To put it on. The new self is explained in Colossians 3:11. It says, in this new self, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Listen to this. Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. So when we put the old self down and we allow the new self to rise, all of a sudden, we get this revelation, this understanding. All that matters. Well, honestly, Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. Oh, that person offended me. Oh, that person hurt me. I never got what I thought I should get. You know, Christ is all that matters. All that stuff's going to burn. All that stuff doesn't matter. But Christ is the only thing that matters. And this new self has a revelation of that and starts to evaluate everything that happens in our life in relation to Christ. And all of a sudden, we start to come alive. All of a sudden, increase begins to rise within us. All of a sudden, we're looking over above those things that kept us small and kept us low, kept us enslaved to the old self. Is that good news? You bet. Totally takes the focus off all that the old self holds dear and discards all the things that divides us. See, the old self divides us. The old self keeps us separate. The old self offends us and disappoints us. And we all keep in our own little thing. But the new self understands that Christ unites us. That we are the body of Christ. That we are the family of God. That we are one in Him. Whereas before we were prejudiced against this, against that, against whatever. But not now, because we're one in Christ. And there's this spirit that comes within us and rises within us that literally we begin to see things differently. All of a sudden, all of the things that the old self held so dear, it's not valuable anymore. It's not important anymore. We see it differently. I can tell you personally, there were things in my life that I used to justify by my reasoning that were okay. One still, I'd weigh it up. I'd think about it. Ah, it's not that bad. You know, it's like, you know, everyone's doing it. You know, it's sort of pretty. It's not illegal. It's not, it's not so bad. It's whatever. I could reason in my mind. The old self could justify it and go, nah, you're good. You're good. You're good. But you know, when I came to Christ, there was this spirit within me that when I went to do those things that I reasoned in my mind before that were okay, all of a sudden there was this, you know what, that's not right. It's like I wasn't comfortable anymore doing stuff that pleased the old self. It's like I wasn't comfortable anymore. I didn't feel, and I knew this spirit showed me. Somehow it's just wrong. Somehow it's just wrong. You put it in the light of Christ, and it's just wrong. Not illegal, but wrong. And it's at that point that we choose between the old self and the new self. It's at that point that Jesus went from Savior to Lord. Oh, you've got to listen to me today. See, right across this room, there would be almost everyone, a large proportion of the body of people here saved. Absolutely. Jesus Christ is your Savior. But my question is, this morning, how many can honestly say, He's not only Savior, but He's my Lord? See, the old self can't have another Lord. Only the new self can accept Him as Lord and be okay with it. Be okay with it. The old self says, no, you've got to, you know, you've got rights and you've got, you know, you've got, they shouldn't do that. And the old self will whinge and moan and complain. And the new self says, oh, Lord, Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. And He lives in me. He dwells within me. Oh, this will shut down every pity party you've been invited to. It'll shut it down. The new self doesn't go to pity parties. Too busy increasing, too busy developing, too busy growing. Place to the greatness of God and the position that God has for him. It's a great place to be. You see, we have to understand, get the revelation that he's Father God, not Father Christmas. See, we worship you, Father Christmas. You know, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Where's my present? Where's my gift? You know, he's not Father Christmas. He's Father God. He's Lord. The new self understands that. The new self rejoices as that. It's wonderful. Because it'll come down to my will every time. Every time. I have a choice. My will or His will. The old self or the new self. It's my choice. I choose that. Because God will never take it from your life unless you're prepared to sacrifice it. Where's our young champion there, the robot boy? Come on up here for a sec. Come on, no, a little faster than that. I won't embarrass you, I promise. All right? Now, I want you to take that Bible from me. No, take it from me. No, take it. No, take it. Give it back. Come on. Give it back. No, give it back. Exactly. You see? See, we want God to take it from us. Thank you. You may sit down. We want God to take it from us. Oh, God, I suffer with that. I'm weak in that area. I sin in that area all the time. Please take it from me. Take it from me. And he's like, sure. You know, give me permission. Surrender it. Sacrifice it. Make a decision of your will. That no longer will have control in my life. That will no longer keep me small. That will no longer keep me enslaved. Lord, take it from me. He says, you bet. But done deal. Gone. But why is he going to take something that we keep holding on to? That hurt. That disappointment. That pain. That offense. Oh, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, how can God take it if we don't surrender it? He will never violate our will. Oh, we want him to take it at this moment. Is that fair? But the new self understands if I can just release it and he'll take everything from me. Let me encourage you today, don't stop the process of increase. You know, till we die, here's the good news, till we die, the day we die, we'll probably still be given stuff over. We'll probably still be sacrificing to the cross, stuffing the old man. The things that rise up within us, the attitudes that keep us small and keep us, you know, lacking the increase that God wants for us. Don't be enslaved to the old self, but embrace the new self in Christ. Powerful. Because that leads to number three, the God self. God self. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Created to be like God. See, most people shy away from that and say, well, you know, we're not gods. And, you know, don't go there. No, we're not gods and we never will be. Simply explained, God-like simply means Christ-like. Means Christian. That's what the word means. This God self is Christ-like. And you know, I've noticed that the word Christian should never be a noun. It should always be an adjective. Now, I failed grade 10. I'm not a smart man, but I know a noun is a naming word. Is that right? Where are the teachers? Right? So a noun is a naming word, and an adjective is a describing word. So Christian is not the name that I call myself. It's the way that the world describes me. I should never call myself a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. No, they should say, he's Christ-like. What is it about that guy? He's different. He's kind. He's generous. You know, he always tells the truth. There's something right living about this guy. What is that Christ-like? That's a Christian. We can call ourselves anything we like. Doesn't make any difference. It's what they call us that really matters. And this new self begins to develop the God self. There's a battle that will go on with all of us. There's no two ways about it. There's this new self that's trying to arise. And there's the old self that's trying to maintain control. Because the old self's had control for a long time, yeah? So it's comfortable with control. It's not going to let go. That's why it's so powerful, the decision of our will. That's why the old self has to be nailed to the cross. The old self has to be killed. We have to kill that. Jesus had to kill the flesh, right, for the new life in Christ to rise, for the resurrection to happen. He had to do that. And practically, it sort of goes a bit like this. I know that God has increased for me. I know that there's a better life. I know that Jesus sacrificed and paid a price for me to be victorious, to be an overcomer, to be the head and not the tail. Amen? We know that. Scripture tells us that. We believe the Word of God. That's His plan for us, right? We know that. But there's this, battle that goes on between the old self and the new self, and I have to free myself from the thinking of the old self, the things that hold me captive, the fear, the disappointment, the negativity, the hurt. And my brain is constantly thinking. I don't know about yours. Is your brain, are you constantly talking to yourself? You're not crazy. You're in good company, right? But how many people have had those arguments in your head, those conversations in your head with people that have disappointed you, offended you, whatever? Haven't you run over that? You've run over that conversation. Some nights I've been kept awake, even though I win every argument. You know, I win every argument, but it doesn't free me. It doesn't leave me, does it? It just goes, and then comes up again. You know what I have to do? I have to nail that thing to the cross. If you notice all those conversations you have in your head that we all have, I reckon 90% of them are all negative. Think about it. They're all negative. They're all bad conversations for increase. They're not helping us increase. They're keeping us back. They're keeping us in that cesspool, you know, into that, you know, that sloth of despond, that disappointment, that hurt. And, you know, we've got to nail it. We've got to take that thought, hold it subject to Christ, the Bible says, and then cast it away. But more than that, when that thought begins to come into my head again, when I begin to have that argument for the 948th time, I'm going to grab that thing and say, nah, that's it. I'm not thinking about that anymore. I'm nailing that to the cross. You're done with. You're dead to me. You don't exist anymore. Every time that thought comes in, nah, not having it. Talk to yourself. I do. And I'm totally sane. Sort of. I do say, nah, not doing it. Not entertaining that anymore. You ever seen the kids do that? I'm not entertaining that thought anymore. It's making me hurt. It's making me disappointed. It's negative. I'm not entertaining that anymore. I'm going to be free of that. That thing is enslaving me to the old self. I want to be free of it. Free to become the new self. Free to become the God self that has increase in their life. So it has to die. Those thoughts, those arguments, I have to crucify them. I have to get rid of them. I have to, you know, get rid of all that resentment and the thought that comes into that thought life. And you nail it to the cross and you say these words, you are dead to me. You are dead to me. And next time it rises its head in my brain, it's like, you're dead. You're dead. Next time it comes up, and it will. It'll keep trying. The old self has had control for a long time. It'll keep rising in your brain saying, yeah, but what about what they did to you? You're dead to me. I'm getting the nails. I'm reaching for the hammer. I'm going to crucify you again. Why? So that new self can rise. So that God self can be established. Why? Because Christ is all that matters. You see, you're being robbed today. You're being cheated today. That disappointment has cheated you. That offense has robbed you. It's stolen from you. It's kept you small. And it's happened here. And as a decision of my will, I release that. I refuse to have that. I crucify that thing. You are dead to me from this day forward. I won't entertain that thought one more time. It's a decision of my will. And God says, I'm with you. I'm there. I'm right inside. I'm ready to rise. I'm ready to walk you through this. I'm ready to make you stronger. We're going to have a victory together, you and Christ, the Spirit of God. That's good news, isn't it? Absolutely. The only way to free the old self is to take it to the cross. Hand it over to Jesus. Be honest and say, Lord, you know, this thing's been dogging me. I need your help in this. I surrender it. Yeah, the band can come back if they want to come back. I surrender it. I can't carry this weight anymore. I can't carry it. You have to help me be free of this. And he will. Because Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Listen to it. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what the yoke is? The yoke is the teachings. Every rabbi had a yoke, was the teachings of the rabbi. And the picture is this. It's an old oxen, right? And if they had this young oxen that they wanted to train, they wanted to teach, right? What they would do, they would yoke the two together. They'd bring the old one together and the new one. The new one would want to be going over here and going over there. But the old one's like, nah, we just keep going straight. We keep the furrow straight. This is how you do it. This is how you win. This is how you get increased in your life. And you keep going. The young one's kicking back. But it's yoked. See, it's yoked to the teachings of Christ. And so eventually the young one's going, you know what? This actually works. You know what? I feel freer in this yoke than out there making every mistake under the sun. You know, I feel stronger here. I feel complete when I'm yoked with this more experienced older oxen. And you know what? We're doing a good job together. My head's not turning back. I'm not turning away from the increase that is ahead of me. Jesus says, you know, give me that. Give me that. Let's yoke together. He said, I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Can I say today, that is a rare commodity. Rare commodity in humanity today is rest for their souls. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't understand the value of increase. Christ does. Let the God self grow up on the inside of you, and there's nothing that will enslave you, and you'll be free to increase. Now, I'm believing today, I've kept this message fairly short, I think. We need to put to death some things this morning. We need to kill some of that old self. That also, I know we blame other people, it's sort of their fault, but can we for a moment not worry about anybody else, but just look at us. You see, Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. We love that. We want that. And we think, you know, immeasurably more, God can do this for me, God can do that for me. I tell you what, according to his power that is at work within us, God wants to do more within us than out there. What's good with having the world and yet, you know, your soul is lost? There's no peace in your soul. It's not about out there, it's about in here. And the good news is this, we've got control of that. Our will makes those decisions. We can let things go. May not even change the circumstance around us. Who cares? Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. You know, you can be free today. Enslaved no more. By that fear, by that disappointment, by that offense, by whatever's holding you back and enslaving you. You can be free of that, and it's your choice. You say, oh, I can't do that. Well, who else can? If you can't, who else can? Now you make a decision of your will this morning and say, no, I'm going to nail that. I'm killing that thing in me. And Christ will be right there to say, okay, let's go to victory together. But he'll never violate your will. He's not Father Christmas, we said that. He's Father God. And every parent will train a child to success, not just give them everything they want. Amen? You spoil a child doing that. God's not going to give you everything. He's not going to do all the work for you. How do you grow? How do you learn? How do you become all that he's called you to be if he's doing it all? He has the power to. He's made the provision for it to happen. But even Christ in the garden said, not my will, your will, Lord. We follow that process and we will have increase. And I promise you, your life will never be better. Never be better. And I want that for you today. So why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? Bow your head and close your eyes. This is an individual thing. I'm not, maybe not going to have an altar call, but there's stuff that's got to go. And you know, it's the first thing coming to your mind. It's the first thing coming to your mind. It's the thing that's been eating you up that's coming to your mind. And you know what? You might be in the right. You might be in the right. Who cares? Christ is all that matters. As long as I'm in Christ. You might be right. You might be totally wrong. Matters not. The principle's the same. Let's get rid of that. Let's kill that thing. Let's nail it. Sacrifice. And say, Lord, your sacrifice was not in vain. Your sacrifice was not in vain. I surrender my will. I get rid of this thing. It's my decision. It's my choice. And the new self is going to rise within me. The God self is going to begin to flourish in Jesus' name. If that's you, if there's one area, I want you just to raise your hand maybe. That'd be good. It's always good to say, to signify something. No one knows what it is. It's personal. But we've all got something. Just, you know, be honest with yourself. This thing's going to die now. It's going to die. I can't bring it up anymore. I can't allow it to rob me anymore. I can't feed off it. I can't let my old self feed off that negativity anymore. I'm not going to feed off that fear anymore. I'm nailing it to the cross. It's my will. It's my choice. It's my right in Christ. And I'm going to be free of it. That's you. Put your hand on up. We're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you right now. Every hand, every heart, you see it, you see it. Every one of us, Father. We've all got something that we need to be free and to have increase and to go forward and to grow in the greater purpose and plan that you have for us. So our soul will flourish. So, Father, to each one, we're acknowledging to you. We surrender our will. We make a choice. We choose you and the fullness that you have for us. That you came to give life and life to the full. And we want that today in Jesus' name. So we surrender this. And we promise, Lord, to the best of our ability, every time that thing comes into our brain, we're going to shut it down. We're going to nail that thing afresh. Nail that thing afresh. Nail that thing afresh until it's no longer a part of our brain. But we're free. We're not enslaved. We're free for increase. Increase in prophesy that, Lord. I speak that increase, increase, increase in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand this morning, would you? Pastor Don.